Well, I'm just going to share my testimony. You know, last Sunday, Carrie was she talked about low perspective and high perspective. And just going to share how God changed my low perspective to high perspective. Most of you know, I've been ill for the last couple of months or more. And they were two long months. And it was a very, very difficult time for me. And I thought I had reached the end of my journey on this earth. And I'll start with low perspective. Now, my apologies to all those who have heard this before, personally, when you came to see me, and also those who were in Oasis last Thursday. So apologize for that. But I don't want to glorify sickness, but I need to tell you as much detail as possible so you can understand where God can lift you from, what depth God can lift you up to where he wants us to be. And so on Friday the 19th of December, I was babysitting for my son and his wife in Ascot. And that weekend, the next day, I woke up with this really, really bad chest infection. And I couldn't sleep. I was coughing a lot and everything. So Tuesday, my son took me, drove me to Windsor, took me to my GP, and the GP prescribed antibiotics. And he took me back to his home again, but the following day I insisted. I thought, well, I've got antibiotics, I'll be fine now, so just drop me home so I can sleep in my own bed. And he did that. And also my older son, who lives in Shoreham-by-Sea, he was picking me up on the 24th to go and spend Christmas with them. And I said I needed to be home. And so I returned home, but the antibiotics really, they messed me up really badly. And I now have chest infection and also the side effects of these antibiotics. And I won't go into detail, but just say I needed to stay very close to a toilet. So then I rang my older son and I said, look, I'm too ill really to come and spend Christmas with you. And he said, Mom, I'm not going to leave you here over Christmas on your own. And he said, I'll still come and pick you up, but we will run around you, we will look after you, so you don't have to worry. So on Christmas Day, they're all sitting around the table having this Christmas dinner with all its trimmings, and I'm sitting there with four cream crackers on my plate, because that's all I could not. My digestive system broke down and I couldn't digest anything other than dry toast and cream crackers. So I sat with these four cream crackers on my plate. I couldn't even manage those. And so on Sunday the 20th of December, my younger son and his family, they came and they joined us, and I came back home with them. They wanted to take me home, but I insisted I wanted to be at my own house. Then on 31st of December, Christmas Eve, I sat in bed all night. I couldn't breathe. I was coughing. And it was just terrible, terrible, tremendous pressure on top of my stomach. I just could not breathe. I could not do anything. I was crying, and I just thought that is the night I was going to die. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to die on my own. And in the morning, they'll have to break down the door to get to me. And, you know, I was crying, asking God, where are you? Help me. I feel so alone. Where are you? And many more times like that followed. And then on the 2nd of January, I went back to see my GP. And she prescribed some tablets, which helped me a bit. But it still didn't solve the digestive system problem. And she sent me for some blood tests, and the blood tests came back with very, very extremely high enzymes in the liver. So now I have chest infection, and digestive system has broken down, and very high liver enzymes. And all this time, I had difficulty breathing and horrendous cough. I couldn't talk. And my apologies to those who called me, but I couldn't come to the phone and talk to you. So I really, really struggled to survive. Day after day as I suffered, with no change in my condition, I gave up hope. Disappointment set in, and I felt weak, not being able to do anything for myself. Now at this point, my blood pressure shot up really, really to high, dangerous levels. And each night when I went to bed, I thought, well, I'm going to have either a heart attack or a stroke. So then on Saturday the 10th of January, it was about 5:30 in the evening, and I started to have really bad chest pains. I couldn't breathe. My blood pressure was sky high. And so I rang 111 for advice. And they asked me a few questions, and then they sent an ambulance round. And the ambulance came, and they did a few blood tests, and they took ECG, and the ECG didn't look good, so they said, we are going to take you to Harefield Hospital in Uxbridge. And I said, why Uxbridge? Why not Wrexham? They said, well, that's the best hospital for heart conditions. And so they took me to this hospital with blue lights and sirens blazing. And when we arrived there, the cardiologist was waiting for me. They took me into hospital. They did some more tests there, and ECG and echocardiogram, x-rays, blood tests, whatnot. And then they wanted to do on the third day. Now, I was tied down to my bed with all these machines attached to me. And I was getting really fed up. I said, I can't live like this, staying in bed all the time. And on the third day, they wanted to do angiogram, but I said, I can't go through that because I nearly died from one of these in Harley Street in 2000. And so they decided they were going to do MyoView, which is not invasive. But they decided then they came back with this report and they said, okay, we find that there is some problem, but you haven't had a heart attack. So I was really pleased about that. And I said, well, in that case, I would like to go home. And they said, okay, we'll do these other tests as an outpatient. And they sent me this appointment. And on the day that they did that was tough. It was the whole day. And my neighbor, she picked me up 9:30. I didn't get back home till 5:30. And they were injecting these radiation into me. They did that 2-3 times too. And then at one point I nearly fainted. They were really tough. The test took about 5 to 6 hours. And they advised me not to go near small children because of radiation in my system. So at home, I was still struggling with my digestive system, high BP, but now another painful condition was added to my struggles. Through all the medications and all these things that they were trying on me in my system, I came out in gout in my left foot. Now, if you have never had a gout pain, let me tell you, there is no pain like gout. It's worse than even childbirth, So it is really, really painful. So I struggled with chest infection, digestive system, gout, high blood pressure, suspected heart condition, high liver enzymes. And so at this point, I decided to see a cardiologist privately, whom I've known for 14 years. He knows my body really well, and I thought, well, he will know what to do with me. And he also referred me to a gastrologist and a general doctor privately. And so as a result, I was admitted in Spires Hospital for a gastroscopy, and biopsy was taken as well at the same time. And so not only these conditions, and I'm struggling with all these side effects, horrendous, horrendous side effects. At some point you think, you're going out of your mind, because some of them make you depressed, others make you jittery, and so I think, I can't deal with this. And at this point I was really, really low. And I was asking questions, I was asking God, what's happening. I was examining, or maybe questioning, my faith. God seemed so, so far away. And when Bishop Justin Welby, when he said last year that sometimes I question our faith, I even question whether there is a God. And there was all this, you know, people coming at him and saying, how can a Christian leader say that? And people will be affected by his statement. But I thought he was really being honest. Because how many of us, when we go through difficult times, we ask those questions? And really, it's not that we are questioning our faith. We are, by those questions, we are examining. And I think it's a good thing to do, because it doesn't weaken our faith, but it makes our faith strong, because then we realize that our faith is not based on our circumstances, but it's based on the Word of God and what God has done for us. So it makes your faith strong, not weaker, to question your faith and to examine your faith. So I was in that place at that time. Sometimes I felt guilty about it. Then I thought about it and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, will you come and help me here? And he said, don't worry, just carry on. Carry on, you know. God is not put out, you know, by our questions. He can deal with them, whatever they are. You know, sometimes when people lose someone, and they start to ask God questions. And I remember my cousin, when he lost his wife, he was saying, I'm angry with God. And I said, that's okay. God can deal with that. But we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, when you read the Psalms, and you read how David talk to God, and you think he is so honest, but God honors our honesty. You know, he doesn't want us to just cover it with superficial things, but he wants us to be open with him. Why? Because he's our Father. He wants to hear what's going on in us. He wants to hear what difficulties we are facing, and he wants to be there for us. So in all this, where was God? How did I manage to survive living on my own? How did I cope? Well, I'll answer these questions in reverse. I consider myself very blessed that I have a good circle of friends and good neighbors and family. So during this time, I had about 30 hospitals, doctors, clinics, appointments. And I wasn't able to drive with this gout in my foot and feeling so unwell. So who took me there? My friends and my neighbors. And they would drive me there. They would sit there, wait for me. And they did my shopping. They did my hoovering, washing up, providing meals, visiting me, encouraging me by phone calls and text messages. And above all, praying for me. And I thank each one of them. Some of them are here. I won't name them to embarrass them. And I thank you, each one of you, for each act of kindness to me. And so how did I survive living on my own? Well, your friends, family, and neighbors can't be with you all the time, can they? So in those times of need, and especially at night, even though I felt God was far away, but deep down I knew he was there, and his grace carried me through those times. You know, thank God we talk and we sing about God's grace. Because without God's grace, we have no hope, is that, do we? So it's the grace of God that carries us through each and every circumstance that we cannot handle on our own. So where was God? The first question. Well, he was there all the time. But I was looking at things from a lower perspective. I was concentrating on my circumstances, on my sickness. And all through that time, God was trying to reach out to me. He was trying to reassure me. But my perspective was so low, I couldn't see that. I felt really weak, but I still managed to read Bible and tried to pray. And sometimes these verses would just jump at me. In Psalm 12, verse 1, it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And so he was saying, you know, just turn to me. Because he's the only one who can heal us, comfort us, and give his grace for each day. And Psalm 60 verse 12 said, with God we shall gain victory and he will trample down our enemies. So whatever enemy, whether it's sickness, finance, or whatever it is, you know, he will give us the strength to trample down on those enemies. Job 13:15, you know, it says, though he slay me, yet will I hope. Sometimes I was in that place, other times I wasn't. And I said, whatever happens to me, whatever sickness, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. I will not give up my hope in you. Psalm 66 verse 18 said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And I thought about that, and I started to examine my heart if I was withholding forgiveness or I had judgmental attitudes towards anyone. So, you know, times of trouble and sickness, they are good sometimes because they lead us to a place where we can really examine ourselves. And so I thank God for that. And on Wednesday, the 21st of January, I managed to read a few lines from Bill Johnson's book, When Heaven Invades Earth. I'd already read the book twice, but I just thought I'd read, you know, again. And he said he learned from Derek Prince, if you have only 10 minutes to pray, let the first 8 minutes be praise and worship. And he says, you'll be surprised how much you can fit into the other 2 minutes. So I asked the Holy Spirit to help me to praise and worship, or better still, do it through me, because I felt too weak to do it. So I started to declare who God was, what he had done, what he was going to do, how great he was. Then I started to sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, my favorite song. And in my weak and pathetic voice. And then I started to sing my own words to God. Still very weak and, you know, thinking, oh, this is rubbish. But I carried on. And suddenly, from within me, this deep, strong voice is coming. I was startled. I thought, that's not my voice. So I said, Holy Spirit, is that you? And it was him. And then I started to sing in tongues. And at that point, this strength just surged up in me. And in the guest bedroom, I had one small suitcase prepared to go into hospital anytime. So I got out of bed and I couldn't walk. But I hobbled in there. I said, I'm not having this anymore. Enough is enough. A line has to be drawn here and God has to be glorified. So I took all the stuff out of that suitcase and started to put it in their place. Then I hobbled down the stairs, put the suitcase in the garage. Well, what happened that day? Nothing had changed in my situation. The blood pressure was still high. Gout was still there. I was still struggling to breathe. But what happened? God changed my perspective that day. And he filled me with his joy. And I had this strength and I was so happy. Even though I'm still suffering. But there's this joy bubbling over inside of me. That day when Mike and Sandra came to visit me, they looked at me and they said, we expected you to look worse. And I said, I was. Till this morning. And I said, God met with me. You know, one touch from the King, he can change our situation. He can change us. And then Barbara later on came and she'd seen me before and she knew how I looked. And then she remarked as well. And she said, oh, you look good today. And so I had shared with Barbara as well. Di and Mary and, you know, all other friends who visited me and you know, I was able to tell them what had happened. Then on 22nd of January, I said to the Lord, because mind you, God has lifted me and lifted my perspective, but I'm still suffering. Nothing has changed in my situation. And so I said to the Lord on 22nd of January, Lord, you have only two options. Either restore me to full health, provide new organs, muscles, bones, sinews, whatever is in my body, and let me serve you again. Because without that, there is no purpose to my life unless I can serve you. I'm an eagle. I can't live in a chicken coop. I'm meant to soar. And so I thought, I can't, you know, have this. Your second option is call me home. And I will be happy in your presence. I will be without sickness. I will be without pain. I will have a new body, no tears. Because, mind you, I cried night after night before God, tears. And, you know, I wept. And so I thought there'll be no tears. And I'll have a lovely body. I'll have a slim body. And I will just rejoice in your presence. And so I just left those two options to God for me. That day, Ian and Sabina came round. And as Sabina prayed for me, she asked God to replace all my old organs with new ones. And I thought, do you know, that's surprising. That's what I prayed this morning. That's the option I gave to God this morning. And looking at the time as well. Can God do that? Can God give us brand new parts in our body? Yeah? How many believe that? Yeah? Okay. Now, I have a testimony about that. When my first son was born, it was a very, very difficult birth. And through the instruments or whatever, they had made a hole in my bladder. So the first day I got out of bed, stood, there was a puddle on the floor. And the nurse said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know." The thing was that I had no control because, you know, it was seeping through that hole onto the floor. And so they decided they were going to send me to Oxford, can't remember what hospital, so they could stitch the hole. And then this gynecologist who used to be Royal Gynecologist came. And he examined me and he says, "No, she's just given birth. The muscles are too weak to hold those stitches. It has to heal naturally." So I was in hospital for about 6 weeks. And the hole was covered up and healed. But there was a weakness. So even if there was a slight chill or something, I used to have cystitis. So it came to this point where every month, 2 weeks in every month, I had cystitis. It was worse and worse. And, you know, pain and the bleeding and everything. And so I put up with this for 18 years. But in between, I would ask God to heal me. I would get healed, but it would come back. And in 1982, I took my two boys to Bournemouth for a week's holiday. We arrived there on the second day. It started again. So I had to go and see a doctor in emergency. And he gave me antibiotics. But by now, antibiotics were not doing any good because I'd taken so many of them and my body had got used to them. So the second day, I had to drive back. And when we got home, the boys went to the park to play football. And that day, again, I gave God an ultimatum. I lay on the floor on my face. I wept and I cried and I said, "Lord, I don't want you to heal me anymore. I want a brand new bladder." And as I lay there crying before God and praying, I suddenly felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was like he was hovering all over my body like a scanner. It was so powerful. Then I came to a point where there was this deep assurance the job has been done. So I got off the floor, washed my tears, went upstairs, washed my face, and I started to cook dinner for my boys. That was in 1982. From that point to this day, I've never had cystitis. So on 6th of February this year, this morning I talked to God and I said, "Do you know what? I love you. I love the way you do things. I love your character. I love your judgments. I love your compassion." And then I thought, well, if I didn't do that, what difference would it make to you? because you are all those things anyway, you know, you are great, you are mighty. So me saying that is not going to make any difference. And yet, you pursue me. You know, we were singing, I am your, because at that point when Ian got up and says, I am your heart's desire. And I thought, why do you do this? Why do you chase after me so much? Why do you give me so much attention? And why do you open your arms to me always? And you know, that's the answer came back. And God said, because I love you. You are my heart's desire. And that chokes me up. It really chokes me up. That God of heaven and earth, and I am his heart's desire. That's amazing. Then that day, my cousin who lives in America, she used to phone me every couple of days to see how I was. And she was a very staunch Roman Catholic. All her family was. So much so she was going to become a nun at one point. But God got hold of her. And she loves the Lord now with all her heart. And she says, look, I'm going to say something to you. Why don't you take communion every morning before your breakfast? And declare the work of the cross over yourself. Thank Jesus what he has done. Claim it for yourself. It is a powerful thing to do. So I started doing that from that day onwards. And from that point onwards, things started to change one by one. I'll share this a bit later, but you know, one morning as I read Exodus 24, verse 4, it says, Moses then wrote everything the Lord had said. He got up early next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And I thought about that. And I thought, whatever mountain we are facing, be it sickness, finances, relationships, job, addiction, grief, affliction, oppression, we need to build an altar at the foot of that mountain. Now, altar is a place of sacrifice. Moses sacrificed young bulls according to the requirements then, but the last and final and complete and full sacrifice has already been made on our behalf on the cross. So we don't need to bring a sacrifice of goats and bulls, but we can bring sacrifice of praise to the altar we build at the foot of the mountain. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with his horns and hoofs. And as Ian said earlier, I've been posting on Facebook, you know, things about praise. And that is the reason why, because I feel, you know, praise can change things for us. So we don't need to build a physical altar like Moses did, but just a place where we can be alone with God, to thank him for what he has done, praise him for who he is, and just lap up his love and his embrace. So that is the place of worship, that's the altar. So why build an altar at the foot of the mountain? Why? Because praise and worship act like a dynamite. It blows away the mountain. So whatever mountain you're facing today, build an altar at the foot of that mountain and let it be blown away. So how has it worked for me? One by one, each mountain I faced was blown away. Chest infection was healed. Gout disappeared. Digestive system is improving. I've got there, but I have now added things like salad, roasted vegetables, chicken, yogurt, fruit, and sometimes little chocolate. The biopsy report came back normal. You know, the camera didn't find anything. Biopsy didn't find anything. The blood pressure is much better. It has improved from where it was. Some days it is like this, but it's much, much better than it was. And even after 4 ECGs, echocardiograms at 4 different hospitals, clinics, that showed some irregularity in my heart, the final test, that was the grueling test, came back normal. So shall we give praise to God? So what worked for me? Your prayers. Prayers pull down heaven's realities into earthly situations. Yeah? And so because there is no sickness in heaven, why should we suffer with sickness on earth when we pull down heaven into our situations? Praise blows away the mountains in our lives. It works like a magnifying glass. It makes God bigger than our problems. Holy Communion is a reminder of what Jesus has done for us on that cross. We claim it, declare it over us, because it is our inheritance. And finally, let me leave you with this. God may not come when you want him to, but he will always be on time if you wait for him. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." So I'd like to leave that with you. Whatever situation, circumstances you are going through, God says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, because he is with us, and that's what makes all the difference. His presence changes everything. And thank you for listening to me.